Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Take a few moments this morning to meditate on the gospel reading from John chapter 2. First, let me say it's wonderful to be here with you. I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters from La Iglesia Evangelica Luterana Confessional de la República Dominicana, the Evangelical Confessional Lutheran Church of the Dominican Republic, and also from all of your missionaries serving there in the DR and throughout Latin America. It's good to be here today with you guys who have supported our work, my family and I, in the DR from day one. So today I'm here for you, and we have a fun gospel text. Jesus' first miracle, or sign as John calls it, turning water to wine at the wedding at Cana. Water to wine. How appropriate. I mean, I recognize that usually here at Lord of Life you get water, and today a fine wine. I always got to get some jab in there at my beloved brother-in-law, Joel the Lester. Now, he could try to get me back when he comes to the Dominican Republic if I have him preach there, but I would be the one translating, so I would think your intended meaning probably wouldn't come through. Great to be here. Thank you for your support. This sermon isn't a mission plug. That comes later when I hand out cigars. In all seriousness, we have a beautiful text today for the second Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord. And if you weigh our Lord's miracles alongside one another, this one of changing water to wine may seem a bit small or insignificant. No, Jesus doesn't heal the sick here. He doesn't cast out a demon. He doesn't raise the dead. He turns water to wine. And yet there's something big here. How does our text close? John says this: the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. That's why John wrote down this seemingly small miracle or sign, just as he says at the end of his gospel. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, have life in his name. In his 1533 sermon on John 2, Dr. Luther said, "This miracle, therefore, serves chiefly to teach us who Christ is and to seek his help and mercy with confidence whenever in need. He will supply it at the proper time." Now, I think it's interesting that our Lord Jesus performed this first sign of his at a wedding. So today, in the spirit of Luther, it gives us an opportunity to reflect on God's gift of holy marriage. Not necessarily the central point of the text itself, but I think we've got something good here. Jesus honored this marriage at Cana with his presence. And all the more, he saw fit to act when something with a great potential for shame happened. The wine ran out at a feast. Yes, what great shame that would have brought to this newlywed couple and even more to their families. But the Lord Jesus steps in at the behest of his mother, of all people. We suspect she may have been serving somehow with the wedding party at the feast. So Jesus takes jars normally used for the old Jewish rites of purification, empty jars, mind you. He fills them with water, or has them filled with water, which he makes into the choicest of wine. The best vintage. Imagine the best Cabernet or Riesling you've ever had. Your Lord's wine is better than that. No miracle is too big for our Lord to do, or too small for him to bother with doing. And that is good news for you, dear children of God. In that 1533 sermon, Luther rejoices in our Lord's honoring of holy marriage. And for Luther, this was actually huge. He was a monk, he was a priest, In his day, marriage was not held in high esteem by the church. In fact, the church taught that if you devoted your life or wanted to devote your life to God, now that was a holy thing. Become a monk, become a priest, become a nun. Now, it's wonderful to devote one's life to the Lord, to the church, but to say that one vocation is more holy than another just doesn't fit with biblical teaching. So, Luther extolled marriage as the holy estate that God created it to be. And like Paul explains, marriage is a picture of the relationship of Christ to his church. It's a union that thrives on forgiveness and the selfless love of a man and a woman, one for another. To see a picture of Christ in that union is a beautiful, blessed thing. To see our Lord honor a marriage in Cana of Galilee with his presence and even a miracle is a beautiful, blessed thing. We live in a time when things are disposable. If something we have breaks, throw it away, replace it. I live by that philosophy myself. With the availability of small electronics, the allure of the latest tech, hey, toss it out, get a new one. Sometimes it makes sense, but not all the time. I've learned in the Dominican that most things can be fixed, and often fixed cheaply. We have a blind guy who fixed our washing machine for about 60 bucks. Now, some things are cheaply made, and it's not worth taking the time or money to fix, but something well made, isn't that worth taking the time, investing the time to repair when broken or damaged? God created marriage and gave it to us as a gift. And by his design, it's well made. And that includes the God-given roles of the husband as the head, the wife as the helper. I say that not from the sinful perspective through which we often view it, but rather from the biblical perspective of love and service. In the beginning, God called marriage good along with everything he had made. A man shall leave his father and mother and become one flesh with his wife. And so to commit to one another in holy marriage for life, according to God's design, opens the door for a life of blessing, a life of mutual love and respect, of giving, receiving, rejoicing, reflecting that love that God has shown to you in Jesus. To become one flesh in the context of that love and commitment brings a man and a woman into a holy estate where sex isn't something that carries with it shame or stigma, but beauty. And something this well made is most certainly worth investing in and definitely worth repairing when broken. So why do we treat marriage like it's disposable? Why do we treat it like God's design for it isn't good enough? Why do we enter into marriage lightly or inadvisedly without really knowing or caring what it's really all about? Why do we play like we're married and feel like we don't have to bother with public marriage or put it off like a mere formality that we'll take care of later when we truly know if we're compatible or have enough money to have a big enough party? Ah, yes. The poor, miserable sinner in you says that God's way isn't good enough for me. I don't need it. I know better. If it doesn't work, get rid of it. Maybe put it off until later. We can have all the pleasurable benefits right now. Have you ever considered that maybe your marriage or relationship doesn't work because you've defiled it? Have you made it into something other than what God created it to be? Our circumstances are certainly different than in Luther's day, but ultimately the problem is the same. More often than not, we don't regard marriage as the holy estate that Christ honors with his presence. This is a huge struggle for our work in the Dominican Republic. It's quite common for a man to be married or not married at all, but have a woman and then have another woman on the side. It's something we're working on to address in our parishes. Here's the thing, folks. Why settle for plain water when you can have wine? The greatest vintage that there is. Why skip marriage and go the way of shame when you can go the way of beauty? Why push the Lord Jesus out of marriage when it's so easy to bring him into it? Repent. Cast off your sins of convenience, stubbornness, selfishness, and arrogance. Stop thinking you can do better than the Lord. Remember, the Lord Jesus can turn water to wine. That's what he's done for you personally. Through baptism, he takes a sinner like you and makes him a saint. He takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. He comes to you, invites you into his presence, to his marriage feast, where the wine, which is his cleansing blood, never runs out, where forgiveness, life, and salvation abound. At Cana of Galilee, the Lord Jesus honors a marriage with his presence. He blesses it with a miracle. And that holds true for all marriages, even yours. Pray. Ask him for a miracle. Invite him into your union. He will turn water to wine. Confess your sins to him, to one another. Receive his cross-won forgiveness. He's Jesus. No sin of yours or your spouse's is too big or small for his blood to pay the price. Today we're reminded again of who our Jesus is. He is Almighty God. He turns water to wine. He makes the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. He tells the dead to get up and they rise. And today, he teaches you that he is more than willing to step into a marriage and work a miracle there too. Because his love for his bride is made visible between a man and a woman. Rejoice. Rejoice in God's gift of holy marriage. Rejoice in your marriage. Singles, rejoice in the marriages of families and family and friends. See in them that stunning picture of Christ's love for his bride, the church, his love for you. See in them water turned to wine, and know that that's exactly how Jesus loves you. That's how he loves you all, married or not, where your strength fails. His does not. Where your commitment withers, his remains steadfast. Where you abandon God's design for life and love, he never has and never will. You want to see what marriage is? Look to your own bridegroom, Jesus. Yes, he is God. Yes, in his ministry he performed glorious, dazzling miracles, but he didn't make full use of that power and glory that was rightfully his as the Son of God. He gave that up for you. And when his hour came, when it made the most sense for Jesus to unleash all the power of God against all the powers of hell, to tear himself down from the cross and say, "Ha! Your bridegroom, the Son of God, bowed his head, gave up his spirit, and died." He submitted himself to death for you, his bride. He did it to turn water to wine. And that's what he's done for you. In the midst of your brokenness, you're truly new in Jesus Christ. You're glorious. You're beautiful in his sight. You are the bride of God, his greatest miracle, his best vintage. You are God's design, his new creation through baptism into Christ. And whatever he makes is good. Beautiful. In the name of Jesus, amen.